Good afternoon, everyone. Happy post-lunch, I guess. You know, we put the Sheraton here so that everybody gets a little, you know, post-walk, you know, post-lunch walk-in going on. So hopefully you get a little bit of blood flowing. And don't worry, the sign in the front is not an expiration date. It's actually just, it's there for some good stuff a little bit later on in the session. I want to thank everybody for coming out and making their way over to the Sheraton for the session here today. My name's Andrew Bybee. I am leading our development effort with the Microsoft Teams platform, and I am joined today by my colleague, Larry. We're super excited to be here today and to talk about how to build the ultimate team hub. I feel like you have to put some emphasis in that one, ultimate. So we're going to talk about sort of how we can start to do that. Now, before we get into this, how many of you are using Teams now? Nice. Many. I love that. That's awesome. Let the record show that there was good high hands being raised in the back. I see some old folks there, some folks that I would hope to see. So that's great. That's awesome. So for the very small percentage of you that haven't necessarily started using Teams yet, just want to sort of emphasize that Teams over the last year, we celebrated our year anniversary in March, has made some pretty impressive leaps and bounds in terms of capabilities, but also sort of the value that we're bringing to you as customers, you as partners. It's about being able to mix not only chat, but audio and video communication. It's about being able to bring in, obviously, collaboration in the ways that work for your teams. And it's a way about being able to actually start to customize and extend. So now, here's part two of the question. How many of you actually developed something for Teams in the last year? Ah, okay, so like half. All right, we're starting to now filter down to the target audience. So great, so there's opportunities there. So we want to talk about exactly, if you haven't started yet, how can you get started very easily? And if you have started, how can you make your stuff even cooler to get to, remember, what is it? Ultimate Team Hub. So with that, the last thing that we also want to make sure that we're sort of talking about is that part of the value proposition here is how you can bring these applications into your environment with confidence. And if you saw this morning with Satya, you know, a lot of opportunities here and a lot of responsibilities for building out these types of solutions. And so we think Teams obviously brings in an amazing amount of value to bring that application into that sort of confidence sphere of trust, so to speak. All right, so if we sort of dive down to the next level here and we think about sort of how does this then play with sort of the broader Microsoft and Office 365 story that we're telling here, you know, over the last year, we've talked a lot about how conversations are central to productivity and to really how the platform comes together. And as we think about this, we want to then start to really get everybody onto the same page about, you know, this isn't an either-or conversation. This is about leveraging those canvases for documents or conversations for pages in the right way, both inside of those experiences, but then also inside of your experiences. And thinking about that as a virtuous cycle, right? How do you get the right task in the right place? And then how do you start to connect that with intelligence, Microsoft Graph? So you'll see these themes really sort of across the conference, right? Graph, being able to extend inside of the Office canvases and being able to embed those experiences and that understanding and intelligence in your applications really starts to form the core sort of value proposition that we've got here. Now, one of the things that Teams is really sort of uniquely positioned for is really around how that conversational model starts to sit inside of a world that we think of as that hub for productivity. And so with that, I want to have Larry sort of talk a little bit about sort of how we think about those extensions that you're building across the Office suite start to now really sort of play inside of that core hub experience.
Awesome. Thanks, Andy. I just grabbed the clicker from you. First off, congratulations for getting into the building, because for those of us that were here in the morning, all the doors were locked, so you guys have made it this far. So as we think about the Teams platform and what it means to be a hub, really it's around this concept of an app as kind of the fundamental module, right, for extending and customizing. And, you know, why does this matter? So within the conversational canvas, really it's all about allowing your end users to take actions and decisions faster. It's about having content, tools, and services that they use directly at their fingertips to be able to streamline those processes, those workflows. And it's also around creating opportunities for collaboration. So ultimately, of course, Teams is a group collaboration, team collaboration product. And so those tools, those services are there to help facilitate that group collaboration. And we're going to see some examples with that very, very shortly. So You know, we've had a lot of momentum over the last couple of years from, you know, preview through to GA with our ecosystems. A lot of fantastic partners have built great solutions for teams. Some of them may even be in this room. And they've built really compelling integrations across a variety of different extensibility points, as we're going to see throughout the presentation. So whether you're integrating or using an app for productivity, task management, developer tools, we have a pretty wide gamut of different developer tools, or vertical functions like sales, marketing, HR, we have a bunch of these built-in integrations already. Now, of course, if that doesn't suit your needs, then, you know, what do you do? So you build your own custom app, and that's why you guys are here today, is to learn a little bit more about how you can extend Teams by building your own custom applications and leveraging the full suite of capabilities. And we're gonna spend some time going through kind of the fundamentals. We're gonna go add more enhanced capabilities, and we're gonna show you some new stuff, some new capabilities, and give you guys a sneak peek into how we're thinking about evolving the Teams platform. And so as you think about building these apps for Teams, whether you're an ISV and you're building and selling a solution, or if you're an enterprise developer and you're trying to make it a little bit more easy for your end users, these are some of the categories that we've seen. So just to kind of go through them quickly, you know, and we've seen a lot of these examples with our existing customers, as well as within Microsoft, within our IT environment, we've been starting to see this groundswell of custom-built applications that are really designed to help pull in and centralize all the workflows and teams. So whether you're talking about departmental tools like sales and marketing tools, HR, employee resources, so being able to look up company information, being able to find data from your directory, hey, when's my company holiday, where do I go find my 401k balance, being able to pull this information through as a custom app. Support and info is another popular category where there's a lot of interesting scenarios around employee help desk, employee support. So being able to have a chatbot within Teams that can help facilitate some of that sort of tier zero or tier one support function. And then lastly, from a process and workflow standpoint, there are so many of these workflows that occur with email, you know, today, where you'll get an approval email and, you know, you click on it and it's got to take you to this website where you have to go auth in order to, you know, approve an expense report or a purchase order. But starting to think about how you can bring that into Teams and use the richness of the canvas to go get all of those tasks done without having to jump around and context switch. So again, keep in mind some of these kind of canonical types of custom application scenarios and categories. So diving into kind of the different steps, and as we go through the presentation, we're gonna talk a little bit about the capabilities of the platform, and then we'll show some depth to help reinforce these pillars. So the first one is all about getting started. So, you know, the Teams platform can be a little bit daunting for someone that's just kind of starting to look at it. So you may hear tabs, chatbots, connectors, graph, cards, you know, where do you start? So, you know, one of the first things we want to get people oriented around is, you know, how do you get a basic app up and running, kind of a 0 to 60, package it, and really it's about bringing your existing content, your existing web application into Teams via tab. And then leveraging the relatively new Teams App Studio to actually help facilitate that and to make that a little bit easier. The second step is all around enhancing conversations. So, you know, obviously a lot of folks in this room have probably worked with bot technologies, Azure, and the bot framework, which is now, of course, Azure Bot Services. Maybe you've used Lewis.ai. Maybe you're also integrating the Microsoft Graph. So this is all about how you take that basic application that's really around bringing content into your collaboration and now up-leveling that into have some natural language interaction, some chatbot functionality, which is, of course, is core conversational nature of Teams. And then, of course, we'll get into some new things, too, like adaptive cards, which is now supported in Teams. Thirdly, so you've got your, you know, your app with content. You've got chatbot functionality. Now, this is the super exciting part. So we are starting to bring online voice and video, programmable voice and video. So for those that have worked with Skype for Business in the past who have built you know, compliant recording solutions, contact center, DLP, now starting to look at bringing those capabilities and those scenarios into Teams. And what's really exciting about this is now you're creating truly multimodal apps. They're apps that, you know, users can interact with from a conversational messaging standpoint as well as from a voice calling and meeting standpoint. And then lastly, So, okay, you've built your app. That's great. How do you actually get it into the hands of your end users? Now, of course, we've had the Office Store since last year. You're able to submit and publish your app to the store, but that doesn't mean that you can distribute it just to your employees. So one of the use cases we get very often is, how do I make this only available to this or department or only the folks within my organization? So we're really excited to start to talk about how you'll actually be able to distribute apps specifically to your company this year at Build. So let's dive into the first step here, all around getting started connecting your content. So I'm going to whip through some slides, and I'm going to show you guys a demo of how to start to put this together. So the first is bringing that first tab online. So for those that are new to Teams development, this is really taking your existing web application content. So maybe you have an internal dashboard, or you've got a sales tool that's an intranet page or site. Bringing that into Teams as an embedded tab is relatively straightforward. And that's for a lot of our developers where they start, you're reusing an existing asset. And really, this is as easy as just taking our JavaScript library, integrating that with your web content, and then packaging that up and distributing that inside of Teams. So the example here, you know, we're inside of a channel, and you're actually collaborating on this dashboard. In this case, it's a recruiting sample, so we're showing an open position in some of the applicants. But you can imagine other scenarios for your organization, whether it's an incident dashboard, maybe it's a set of sales opportunities, maybe it's HR or benefits related. And so think about the opportunities where you can leverage that existing web content, use the Teams stack embedding, and then bring that into Teams as a tab. Now, something new this year is weaving that into chats. For those that have worked with the Teams platform, you'll know that from a group collaboration standpoint, we've always had tabs in Teams. So you're able to bring tabs into your Teams and channels. But now we're happy to bring that into chats as well. So whether you're talking about a private one-on-one chat or a group chat, having same tab content. And what's really powerful about this is, you know, one, it's reusing that same technology. So we're talking about using that same JavaScript SDK to integrate your tab content. But, you know, chat is something that people use Teams a lot for. People use it as just a really rich one-on-one or a group chat client. And so think about how in a one-on-one scenario, for instance, if you've got a manager and a direct, or you've got two people that collaborate with each other very frequently, being able to have that tab there and accessible, you know, is very, very powerful. And so this is something that's going to be coming to developer preview very, very soon. Personal apps. So we've talked about group productivity, group collaboration. You know, you're collaborating around a dashboard or a list of opportunities. Bringing that into the personal sphere, really this is all about how, as an end user, you have that personal aggregated view. So to give you a couple of examples, we have Planner and OneNote. With the Planner personal app, you can see all of the tasks assigned to you across all the different projects. Similarly, with the OneNote personal app, you get a view of your personal notebook and all of the pages and notebooks that you've recently accessed. And so in this example, and we'll see it through the demo shortly, you know, this may be all of the positions and all of the candidates that have applied to jobs that I have open. And we're also happy to announce that soon this will be available on the Teams mobile clients. So we're starting to think about these extensibility features, not just being on the web or desktop client, but also extending to mobile so that people can also access and view this information on the run. And one of the, you know, I know from personal experience that when you're trying to go look up, you know, 401k information or a pay stub, you're on the go, you're on your phone, you know, it's pretty tricky to do that sometimes. You're not sure what the right link is, and once you get it, you've got to go through a lot of the sign-in goop. And so being able to do that through Teams, your one hub through your mobile client, it's super, super powerful. So the Teams App Studio, again, relatively new, but this is a tool that helps you package these apps. And it also provides some tools to make it a little bit easier to develop. So for those that worked with the Teams platform before, a lot of this involved creating a manifest in JSON. And you'd have to manually go and update those values. You'd have to go and register your bot and bring in, you know, your credentials and have time you would sideload your JSON and it breaks because you had some weird comma error. Well, so with the Teams App Studio, you don't have to do those that manual step anymore. You can do that through basic form filling. We also have other tools in the Teams App Studio that allow you to preview what cards look like rather than having to write all the code on the service. We have a web UI control library that also allows you to style and skin your tab so that it fits within the Teams language. And then we've got a few new features as well that we're announcing at Build in the Teams App Studio. One is the ability to actually search and use the Teams App Studio bot to find documentation topics. So if you're looking for auth content, if you're looking for help on using the Graph APIs in your Teams bot, be able to do that through the Teams App Studio. Secondly, the manifest that you create is now going to be stored in the cloud. So previously, if you created one, you went to a different device, or if you kind of wiped your PC and came back, that app definition would be gone, so you would have to save it locally. Well, now those definitions are actually going to be stored in a service. And then lastly, this is really, really cool, the ability to register with Azure Bot Service directly through the Teams App Studio. So again, previously, if you wanted to bring a chatbot into your Teams app, you got to go out to the bot framework or bot service, register, get those credentials, bring it back into Teams, copy and paste it into the manifest.json, and now we're actually all of that into the App Studio. So the clicker betrayed me and advanced one more, but I do want to talk about this for a minute. One of the things that we are starting on at Build this year, and we're going to see more of in various sessions, is this concept of bringing SharePoint and Teams together as a platform. For anyone that's worked with SharePoint, you'll know that the SharePoint framework is really rich and allows you to build these really compelling web parts. So if you're building a line of business web part that is a inventory list or a parts list, previously you could build, host, and deploy that solution all within SharePoint. And now we're excited to announce that we're starting on this journey of making that solution available in Teams as well. So the idea is that if you've already invested in the SharePoint framework and you've built a web part, you'll be able to deploy that as a line of business application inside of Teams without doing any additional work, and we take care of basically hosting that as a runtime. And so, this is something that we're going to be talking a lot more of in the coming months, but we think that this really is a great opportunity for developers that have historically worked in the SharePoint space to go and take those existing solutions, that existing tech, and to be able to reach the audience in Teams as well. So that was a lot of talking. Now I want to show you some of those things that we just covered. Let me switch into my PC. Of course, I have to sign in. So the first is starting with a tab as an example. So let's take a look at this team I'm in. I'm in this Contoso HR team. We're talking about recruiting. And I want to go pin a tab so that we can talk about an open position and candidates that have applied to it. So when I click on this plus here, that loads up our gallery of tabs. And you'll notice here that I already have this Contoso app in the gallery. So this has already been loaded into this team. When I click on that and I set up this tab, you'll notice that it's asking me to configure this tab. So part of this experience of building a tab is that it's not just taking your website and throwing it into an iframe. It's also allowing the user to have a rich customization and configuration experience. So in this case, I'm selecting the job posting that I want to pin, and I'll give it a name. So let's say senior SDE. Save that as a tab, and I'll have that loaded here. So you can see that this content is now available within this group for all the team members to collaborate around. We can, of course, also have a conversation here. We start a conversation and post a message about it. And the idea is that, again, it's persistent. Everyone on the team has access to it. Another example here is a whiteboard. So we have a partner, Envision, and they've built this freehand whiteboarding application. And you'll notice how quickly that loaded. So this is a tab that's embedded, and you can basically draw on it and collaborate in real time. And one of the cool things that's going to be coming soon is we'll also have this within meetings, so the ability to have and present and collaborate around this content in meetings. Let me show you the example in the private chat as well. So in this case, we've got a group chat that I have with a couple recruiters. And new now is the ability to pin a tab. And you'll see here that I already have this senior developer position as a tab pinned inside of this context. And again, this is just opening up more opportunities for you to take that existing investment that you've made in the platform and bring it into all of these different conversational facets within Teams. Hopping into the personal example, so you'll notice here that I have a list of personal apps that I've installed, Contoso Talent, App Studio. And so this is the personal view of the Contoso app. I'll skip over the bot conversation for a second and jump into the list of candidates. And again, this is the same tab embedding concept, but in a personal view. So let's look at how I put this together. So let me hop into the App Studio. And actually, I'm going to just give you a peek at the manifest. So the app that you saw in Team, in chat, in that personal context, is all driven off of this one manifest. So the manifest is a JSON file that describes the name of your app, the icons, description, and other metadata that allows us as the Teams client to go and figure out how your app will behave and show up inside of Teams. So you can see here all the different properties that we've defined. You can see that I've also defined the tabs, the bots, the connectors. As I mentioned earlier, if you're putting this together manually, it could be pretty error-prone. That's something that, you know, when we work with the platform, we struggle with a lot. And so we built this Teams App Studio to help make that a little bit easier. I mentioned earlier that we have now the search functionality. So I could search for different topics. So I can search cards. And now the App Studio will bring back documentation, specifically from the Teams documentation website, specific to how I want to develop using the topic and the keyword that I searched for. This is the manifest editor that I mentioned earlier. Let me just go through the login. So the login is new because now, again, we're storing those assets, the manifest that you create in the cloud. This is the definition of the Contoso app that we just saw. And again, you can see here that we have a UI that allows you to fill in the definition of that app rather than crafting JSON. You can use the forms to go do that. And here under bots, this is where you will be able to basically register a bot and have that registered in the Azure Bot Studio rather than having to go out to the website yourself, take your credentials, and paste it back in here. So it's pretty cool stuff, and it certainly makes our life a lot easier when we're developing these Teams apps and trying to test it out. The last thing that I want to show for this section is our SharePoint integration. So I mentioned earlier, just to recap, if you've got an existing SharePoint framework web part, you vested in it, you built it using web technology, and now you want to bring that to your end users and teams. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the store, and now we have this Contoso category, which Andy will later go into greater depth of. But this is basically the sort of corporate catalog of apps for my organization being in this Contoso tenant. You can see here that I've got a couple of apps already loaded, the Contoso Talent one that you just saw with its tabs. I also have this Legal Matters app. And this is basically a web part that we've taken, we've wrapped it up in that same manifest format you saw earlier, and we've published it to the line of business app catalog in Teams. And to show you what that looks like, I'm going to first go into Edge. So this is what the web part looks like in SharePoint. So we've got the SharePoint site, spplat.sharepoint.com. We've got a web part that's basically, some legal repository of documents. Maybe they're contracts or other things that require signatures. And you can see this list here. Now, if I hop into Teams and I go to our legal and compliance channel in this X1050 launch team, and I click on legal, we'll actually load in that same SharePoint web part, and it's reusing all the same tech to go and populate that. What's cool, too, is that you also have that configuration experience, right? So if I want to go set up the tab, you can notice here that I have this Legal Matters line of business app here as a tab. I click on that, and it'll actually give me that same configuration experience. If you were to go set this web part up in SharePoint when you're creating your site, that's exactly the same configuration experience. And so it's still fairly early for us. We're going to be talking about this at a sneak peek theater session on Wednesday. But it's the beginning of a really exciting journey where as we bring these platforms together, the opportunity to build a solution that can work across both these canvases we think will be super valuable. So Hopefully this gives you a sense of how you can get started building something fairly simple but reusing existing technology, whether it's a website that you've already built or it's a SharePoint solution that you want to repurpose and distribute in Teams as well. So now let's talk about making your app a little bit more advanced, a little bit more sophisticated by adding and enhancing conversations. So for those that have worked with the Bot Framework or Azure Bot Service, you'll know that you can bring natural language-based chatbots into Teams. You can give them basic commands. You can integrate with Lewis.ai so that you can actually have language models and utterances that your bot specifically recognizes. But of course, we also support more structured interactions via messaging extensions. So basically, the ability to go and query your bot for information and have it return rich cards through these messaging extensions means that you can sort of pick and choose, hey, do I want to go with a more natural language route, or do I want to keep my users on Rails and have a very guided experience if they're just looking up information? So a bunch of really cool new announcements this year. One is the ability to send or receive files. So if you're interacting with your chatbot, you'll now be able to send the bot a file and have it acknowledge it, and also have the bot be able to send files down to the user. And those are fully integrated using OneDrive for Business, so you know it's still stored in the same file repository that the user is used to. As we saw earlier, we're bringing apps into chats. So if you have a bot that you want to bring up and interact with, whether you want to complete a task or pull up information, be able to do that in a private chat as well. On the messaging extension side, we now support multiple sort of structured search commands. So let's say, in this case, I want to search for positions as well as candidates. I can have those different categories of search, and I'll show that in a minute. And then lastly, from a developer experience standpoint, the Bot Builder SDK that you may be familiar with using either in .NET or Node.js is actually undergoing a pretty significant change. It's revving from 3.x to 4, the 4.0, and with it, there are going to be a bunch of improvements in terms of modularizing it so that you can sort of pick and choose, do I want to use Lewis? Do I want to use the Azure, you know, for stateful storage? Do I want to use Azure for authentication and interacting with OAuth providers? And so 4.0 is actually a pretty large change, and Teams is going to be supporting that. Adaptive cards. All right, so you're going to hear the term adaptive cards a lot at Build this year, I'm sure. There's booths, there's sessions. For those that are not familiar with it, it's basically kind of the next evolution in rich interactive card technology for Microsoft. And what's exciting about this is it's supported across a variety of canvases, Teams, Outlook, Windows, and Cortana. So the ability to have this one JSON payload that you send that is represented richly and consistently across these different canvases. In addition to just having the content, you can also interact with it. You can take advantage of any number of these different forms inputs, like date time picker, number selector, text input, multi-select. And what's great about adaptive is that you know, we've gotten a lot of feedback from our developers that say, hey, I want to go produce this kind of layout. I want to go make my card look like XYZ. And it's difficult because in a templatized system, you can't really do that. So with adaptive, there's a lot more flexibility in the types of layouts that you can construct. This is a sneak peek of a new feature that is going to be coming soon, but we think it's really, really powerful, is the idea of this task module. So the name's a little bit geeky, so we're still working on the branding. But the idea is really, you know, I want to go surface a richer form inside of Teams and have custom content shown there so that I can have the user fill out a longer form, have them view more detailed information about a particular object, or even play rich media, like show a video inline. This is not something that you could do before in Teams as a developer. And now with the task module, you'll actually be able to do that. And I'll give a demo of that in just a minute. And then lastly, of course, you can integrate Graph into your application as you bring online these enhancements. Now, there's nothing new here except for the fact that we're going to make it dramatically easier to have your bot integration integrate with not only Graph, but other OAuth providers. So I'll show that in a minute, but if I can explain it for a second. So with Azure Bot Services this year, there's this new concept of the OAuth card, which basically is a way for you to say, I want to go integrate with external OAuth providers. with my bot application. So it could be Graph and AADV2. It could also be Facebook. It could be Google. It could be Twitter. And this service basically provides a way for you to do that without having to roll your own login experience. You don't have to set up your callbacks. You don't have to have a service where you're storing all the tokens yourself. And as a bot developer, I'll show you with just a few lines of code, basically you can integrate that login experience and then make calls to the graph very, very easily. And so with that, I'll start hopping into a few demos to show off what I just talked about. So I'm going to hop over to the Contoso app that we just showed. And I'm going to start off with a simple command. So I'm going to list all of the top candidates for a particular open position. And hopefully my bot will come back with a response in a few seconds. There we go. And so what I want to do is I want to view the details of this particular candidate that applied. So I'll click See Details. Now what we have here is an example of an adaptive card. And so you'll notice that in terms of the layout, there's a lot of flexibility. I've got not only a mixture of text and media, but I've also got control over the different columns. So you can see where it says applied to position, hires, no hires. I can specify how my information wants to be laid out in terms of the columns. And again, this will show up consistently across other canvases like Outlook and Windows and Cortana. I've also got interaction here. So if I want to go set, let's say, a date, or if I want to add a comment, I can do that as well. And so, you know, really with Adaptive, we're excited that, you know, I think you'll have a lot more flexibility when you're constructing your content. And by the way, this is going to be fully supported on the team's iOS and Android clients, so you'll be able to create these consistent cross-platform experiences. The next command that I want to show is this new job posting. So I want to go submit a new job posting. And so it'll come back again with an adaptive card where I can fill out some basic information. So let's say I want a senior designer. And I can use various input types like drop down and number picker. And I'll say create posting. And so it'll come back with a response. You'll notice that the bot is prompting me to also upload a job description. So I can do that now. Go into my PC. And let me find the right folder. Give that a second to upload. And so what's happening under the covers here, as I upload this file, I am throwing it into my OneDrive for Business. And then we're sending an event to the bot service that lets them know, hey, user has uploaded this file. Here's the metadata involved, the name, the reference URL in OneDrive. And then it's allowing that bot to be able to access that information. And so you can see here, the bot has responded with an acknowledgement that I've uploaded this document. Now again, because it's all integrated with the same file experience in Teams, if I click on that, I'm going to be able to view it. And if the bot wanted to respond with a file as well, it's able to do that through this new mechanism. Now, you might have noticed that on this form before, I had a button that said open form. And I'm going to switch over to this container that I have, because again, this is fairly new stuff. If I click on that, it's going to open up this form with this dialog. So this is the task module that I talked about earlier. Now, in this case, I have a richer adaptive card that I've shown in here. I've basically responded to that button click with a JSON that lights up this form. But again, you'll be able to embed your own custom web content in here. So if you've got an embedded video player or your own, you know, web application that you can basically componentize and deliver through this module, you'll be able to do so. Is there a question here? Yeah, sure. You come up to the mic, maybe. So the question was, is that HTML content? Yeah, so the idea is we'll give you two options. If you have existing web content, you can embed it in there. If you have an adaptive card, you can use JSON to specify the field. So we'll give you both options. It does need to be hosted, yeah. So we don't have a solution that allows you to send down arbitrary web client code that gets shown at runtime. Support. So the question was, will it support dynamic data binding? There will be limited support. So one of the examples is date time. That's one of the first elements we're going to support. So you can specify, hey, I want to show this date time, but then localize it based on the current user's time zone. So we're starting to do more and more of that. But right now, it's fairly basic support. So also want to show you the message extension I talked about earlier. So over here, we have the same Contoso Talent app. And I can query it. But now you'll notice that I can search for both positions and commands before candidates. Before, it was limited to just one search category. So if I want to search for candidates, I can type in a last name, get that name, and I can insert that as a card as well. The last thing that I'll show here is the graph integration. So I'll start with this. Actually, let me hop back into Teams here. Issue this login command. So what's happening here is that I typed login, and my bot service constructed this login card. And when I click on it, it's going to prompt me to sign in with my credentials. And I can pick my account here. I've already signed in, so it quickly grabs my credentials. Now notice that this login form happened within Teams. It didn't pop me out to a browser where I go and do the credential sign-in. This magic number entry thing will go away very soon, so let's imagine that it closed the window automatically. And close that. And I'll just copy and paste that, hit enter. And at the end of this flow, what happened was my bot now has the access token with its AAD V2 integration to be able to query the graph. So this text that it returned where it said, you know, you're now signed in as Larry Jin with so-and-so, it actually made a graph API call to do that. And I just want to show very quickly how many lines of code effectively it took for me to do that. That's pretty much it. So for anyone that's thinking, hey, I want to go build an app, and I want to go integrate with Graph, I want to have a bot that shows up in Teams, and you're thinking, wow, that's probably like a bunch of web FE code, a bunch of back-end service code, a bunch of integrating with Azure Data Storage, or, you know, Table Store. You don't have to do any of that. This is really all I had to do to integrate that into my bot. And you know, without going into too much detail, because there are other sessions that talk about this, the way that I set that up is, in my Azure portal, where I've gone and registered my bot, there is now a new setting that allows me to configure OAuth providers that I want my bot to integrate into. So just show that very, very quickly. So you notice down here where, in addition to the regular bot settings like the app ID and the callback URL, I now have a list of graph providers. And I've set up a graph provider with AAD V2. And so this service takes care of popping the login page, the redirect flow at the end of the login. It even takes care of storing the refresh token in the cloud. And I, as a bot developer, all I have to do is say, hey, give me the token for this user at runtime. And it takes care of all the caching and all of the complexity beneath it. So this is super powerful stuff. It's going to make developing a whole heck of a lot easier. And I think that's it for demos. So with that, I'll turn it back to Andy, who's going to talk about some really exciting stuff in terms of programmable voice and video.
Awesome. Very cool demos. Hopefully everybody got a chance to see how those would sort of play in. How many of you have ended up building tabs yet today? Very few. How many of you have actually done something with bots and Teams in the last? Okay, so some of you. So hopefully, as you see sort of how we're moving the platform forward, you see some opportunities for enhancing your experience with your bot as you're trying to build those experiences out in Teams. Now, as we push forward, there's a sort of 2 points. The notion around graph is really pivotal, and it's foundational for everything that we think about inside of Teams and inside of Microsoft 365. And so if you think about all the different sort of capabilities and entities that exist inside of that, it's a huge list, and it's growing very, very, very quickly. Now, one of the things that we've been participating here from a Teams perspective has been around being able to take concepts like Teams and channels and being able to now actually sort of look at those inside a graph. But one of the things that has been sort of core to bringing forward the communication value for the product is now how do you start to move beyond sort of the core stuff that's here and now start to think about how graph and communications play together. So in previous sort of models here, this was something that we would have addressed through Skype for Business Server on-prem. And there were some models that we were starting to build out on Skype for Business Online. But part of the work that we've been doing over the last months has been to now bring those communication models directly natively integrated with Graph and to start thinking about communications becomes a core foundational aspect of the Graph, along with all the other pieces that you think about with contacts, with groups, with teams, with communications. And so as we think about communications, there's really sort of four areas that you're going to see us focus on in this particular segment. One is around programmable voice and video, which is the ability for you to actually start to control and moderate what's happening with those conversations that are going on in real time, and to start thinking about how those can now start to take advantage of the suite of cognitive services that we're talking about in other parts of the session. So this is everything from audio, voice, video, translation, et cetera. The opportunity to bring those into bear become, we think, very, very powerful. We also believe that there are opportunities here to take and build on top of what we've started with Bot Framework, but now to move this forward even more with aspects around intelligent messaging and how you can start to use this to drive these multimodal communications. And then as you bring that forward, the ability for you to now start to bring automation and sort of intelligence into your meeting experience, we think becomes very, very critical. You saw, if you saw Satya's keynote this morning, the work that we're doing around the future of meetings and how we think that starts to move forward with, you know, face recognition and being able to automatically do entity detection, and now start to think about how additional tools and assets can start to play in that ecosystem, we think there's just an amazing amount of opportunity to move collaboration forward. And then finally, one of the key pieces that comes here is that Graph is ultimately about being able to build that intelligence and that shared knowledge. And so your ability to build insights and analytics off of the communications, we think opens up, again, a whole nother realm of opportunities for both helping organizations as well and helping end users actually get more out of their solution. Now, today, this is really a sneak peek. We're going to talk a lot more about these things a little bit later in the year. But today, what we wanted to do was to drill in on the specifically, what does programmable voice and video look like, and what are we starting to work on? What are the things that you're going to see sort of pop first? So one of the key things to note here is that when you think about programmable voice and video, there are actually really five major components. One of them is around call control. How do I actually manage what's going on? One of them is around media, and how do I actually participate and reason over the stream that's there? How do I actually think about my reachable endpoints or the networks that I can actually reach on? And then how do I start to bring intelligence into the mix and do all of that over a shared set of communications infrastructure? So our focus here is on being able to actually unlock these opportunities with a core focus around sort of the beginning pieces here for basic calling, how we think about group calling and meeting and in-meeting scenarios, and then also thinking about sort of interactive voice response. So one of the scenarios that we've been talking a lot about over the last year with Bot Framework has been this idea of a bot that you can speak with. And obviously, as you think about what we're doing with Cortana and Alexa, those are, you know, really agents at that point, right? Intelligent assistants. But what if you just want to have something that's more task-oriented, right? Prescription refill, things like that. How do you start to bring those into the bear? And then how do you start to think about how these things can work with the team's experiences that you're actually rolling out across your organization? So if we dive in on some of these aspects, there are some pieces that we'll be talking about later this year. One of the key ones will be around recording and how do I start to take the media assets that I'm playing with and start to do more things with them asynchronously. And then we'll talk more later this year about sort of other types of networks, including things like PSTN and voice access in sort of global basis. So if we drill in on sort of the call control aspects, what we're doing is the first piece to note is we're introducing a new entity into the graph for /app/calls. And why this is crucial is that this actually becomes your node resource for being able to actually both start calls, place calls, receive calls, and actually start managing those calls. So everything from transfer to, you know, hang up, accept, et cetera. Now, as part of this, we're also, because we're in the call, once you have a call going, that calls node actually becomes your node for handling more of the in-call behavior. So whether it's joining a meeting, being able to see participant rosters, being able to actually start to create these meetings on demand, all of these become part of you being able to play inside of that communication space with your app or service. And then as part of this, we think about IVR, the sort of core behaviors here around being able to play audio, being able to capture input, being able to convert that input into other natural experiences for people, and also being able to do setting mixer levels. Now, for this API, for those of you that have done communication programming before, some of this is going to seem basic. For those of you that haven't done communication programming before, this might be, well, what the hell is that? So the question is what is this actually, what do I do with it? So let's talk about two use cases. One of the first use cases is actually fairly basic, which is, what if I've got a device, let's just say a legacy video teleconferencing gear. Who knows when it was manufactured? Who knows what protocol it happens to be running on? But I'm using Teams Meeting. I would like for this device to be able to join into my Teams Meeting. So earlier this year, we announced some partnerships with some key partners for us around Polycom, Pexip, and BlueJeans to be able to facilitate exactly this case. And the basic model here is they have an existing service that they're running, and we're working with them on enabling this integration using exactly this calling SDK and these APIs so that they can actually do that work around transcoding and edge network routing and things along those lines. Now, this doesn't seem like a super exciting case because this isn't just kind of like translation. You start to look at sort of how this plays out in practice, it actually is kind of interesting. So let's just take a look real quick at a video. So this is something that earlier this year at the Enterprise Connect conference, we actually had all three partners being able to actually demo these things on the show floor. So in this case, I've spent a lot of money on my room systems, and I want to be able to join those to Teams meetings. And so what we've been able to do is that you can see now that this bot allows these things to participate very natively. So here's a third-party room system. Again, because this is legacy style, it's got some interesting things like entering conference IDs and codes, usually using like a remote. And then of course you can see that now once it joined, it's able to actually get full video in, and you're getting a very familiar experience. And so the bot is actually representing one of the users. And then similarly, when I'm in the Teams client, I can see that join, and now I have actually a full native experience with every room showing up as a discrete entity. Now this also works in both directions. So for example, if I start to share content, I can actually have both the video and the content coming through. And the bot is actually working with the Media SDK to be able to translate those streams in both directions. Now, this is just the basic case. This is the case of, you know, I want to take one thing and translate it into something different. And so how does that then sort of play out? That's exciting. There's a bunch of work that's going to go on there. But let's look at something even more involved. So one of the standard things that we see about why would you need to bring in real-time communications into a solution, things happen. Let's just call those things incidents. What is an incident? An incident could be a lot of different pieces. An incident could be a weather alert. An incident could be an intruder. An incident could be something else happened. I would go to the Hawaii thing, but Hawaii is kind of a sensitive topic right now, so we'll just say that things happen. Now, when things happen, one of the first things that you as an organization need to do is you need to complete a set of activities to be able to actually make sure that everybody is know what's going on. So part of that is being able to make sure that you can actually reach out to the people that might be affected by that incident. So they might have questions. They might have information you need to distribute. Let's say there's a power outage or something like that, but their cell phones still work. And then you might also want to be able to actually check in with certain people. So for example, being able to make sure that your employees are okay if there's incident in a market. Now, as part of this, then you also need to be able to actually start connecting to real-world pieces. And so if you've seen some of the work that's been happening, we've talked a lot about IoT and how you can actually start to bring that intelligence down into the factory floor, into real-world signage. All these pieces are parts of making sure that the right people get the right awareness at the right time. And then as part of this, you're going to have a team that might be responsible for actually collaborating and putting all these things together and making sure that everybody's getting taken care of. Call it an incident response team. So of course, a Teams meeting and channel would be a great thing for that. And as part of this, you also want to make sure that you're actually tracking how you're doing and that you're doing it in a time-sensitive and responsive type of way. Now this is a lot of stuff to do, right? This is a lot of stuff to go on, and this is exactly what solutions are meant to try and capture. So in fact, a partner solution that is able to facilitate some of all these interconnections to be able to participate and connect with teams would actually be really valuable. Well, so it turns out that we have such a product. We've been exploring, actually, with one of our partners, Sigfire. So I want to introduce Ryan Fowler to come on up, and we're going to walk through an example of how this gets used with SingleWire and Teams. Ryan? Pause for Ryan, please. All right, so tell us a little bit about SingleWire really quick. So where would be an example where signage might come into play?
Well, in a school, for instance, or in some place where you might have some accessibility issues, you might want someone to be able to read a message instead of if they can't hear it. Or a strobe light is obviously a good way of getting someone.
All right, so now we have the fun part. So this is audience participation time. So what we are about to do is we're about to demonstrate a incident response situation. You will see and hear things. Please note that they are just part of the demo. You do not have to leave the room. And in fact, if you want to participate in the room, you are invited to send the following MS Teams, Poundsign MS Teams, to the following number. This number will be used only for the purposes of the demo, and it will be discarded very shortly thereafter. We'll never get contact from it ever again. So we encourage everybody to participate if you would like to see sort of how this starts to play out with a single wire service. So with that, again, this is a demonstration. So just note that as we do that, please no alarm. All right, so with that, why don't we jump over and let's see what we've been exploring. Great. So as part of the exploration, I mean, we've been looking at some different ways to integrate with Teams. What did we come up with?
So what we built was in fairly short order was an informing cast bot. We installed it into this channel so that we can interact with it. Here to show you, if I type into informing cast, you can see that there is a bot name here. These are pre-programmed options that are available inside of the manifest of the bot, as Larry described earlier.
Great.
So let's go with the intruder alert. Hope there's some people that signed up for the SMS message.
Just a demo, folks.
Right, just a demo. Don't be alarmed. We're also going to initiate a call, so you might see some other activity going on here because we want to get our incident response team coordinated and responding to the event. So here goes. Everyone stay calm.
An intruder alert has been issued. Please press 1 to join the incident response team meeting. Transferring.
So this is an example of the bot actually placing the calls outbound and bringing folks actually into the conference. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question. So PSTN is something we'll talk about later in the year. This example is being able to call into Teams clients, but the intent would be that you'd be able to reach any network that the bot is enabled through Teams.
Okay.
Who has confirmed it. I see that we have 54 recipients, 31 people have confirmed. We also made those four phone calls that that were the incident response team. You can see some notification statistics and confirmation responses of who has responded with which answer.
Some people need help.
Right.
We'll have our incident response team get right on that. There's refreshments in the back, I think. That's the post-lunch help, I think, is what that is.
Right.
Awesome. So we've just done our first incident.
Yes.
We've put that together. So you've all participated. Thank you very much. Very nice. So as a developer, obviously, we're still exploring these things. What were the sort of top three things that you observed as you were sort of working through this?
Well, first off, at SingleWire, we've been hearing requests for this. In early days of Informicast, it was all about getting broadcasts out to as many people as possible, as quickly as possible. That's still very important. But the secondary effect of trying to get an incident response group together to collaborate on fulfilling the rest of the emergency plan is just as important, and people are really pushing us on that right now.
Yeah.
So Microsoft Teams is a great start to that.
Awesome.
Secondly, we're not actually a Microsoft shop. I don't know if I should say that here or not. But getting integrated with this REST API, the bot framework REST API, was fairly straightforward, and I didn't have too many issues, even though I'm not familiar, let's say, with Microsoft technologies.
Yep.
Thirdly, and I do have a third thing. Hold on a second. Sorry. The calling APIs. The documentation, all of that stuff just like fit right in. I didn't have to get deep in it at all. I just looked at the example, copied some things around, made a few modifications, and went right for it.
Awesome. Well, it's still early days, but excited to sort of see the exploration and see where we can go with it. And hopefully that gives you guys a sense of sort of how you can start to put some of these potentially esoteric topics into real world usage. So thanks.
All right. Thanks, Andy.
All right, Ryan. One more round of applause. All right, so communications matter. Timely communications matter even more. So it's important to think about how we can start to enable and empower all those things with Teams. Thank you to everybody that was participating in that. Hopefully you had some fun with that one. All right, so we've gotten started. We've enhanced the conversation. We've made it more real time. Now the question becomes, what do you do with it, right? You gotta be able to distribute it and put it out there. And so one of the things that we wanted to talk through is there are lots of different ways that you can think about distributing apps inside of Teams. Over the last year, we've enabled a store where you can get third-party applications, consume those that we're managing sort of the distribution for through our global app catalog. You could also go ahead and actually sideload Teams for yourself or for members of your team through our team and sort of personal catalog. But one of the biggest requests that we've gotten back is, hey, I'm a large organization. I want to be able to build applications for my company, and I want those to be things that my customer or my users can download, but I don't want them to be able to download anything else because I tell it's gotten through security review and things like that. So we certainly understand that, and part of the thing then that we're responding with is actually introducing a new model here, which Larry showed you earlier, which is the ability for you to now have an enterprise catalog for these apps, and in fact, being able to have those same controls and settings that you could have for the other types of apps actually apply for your enterprise apps as well. Now, the other piece that sort of goes along with this is once you've got that app in the catalog, you also want to be able to have some more control over about who's actually accessing those apps and what they're doing with them. And so later this summer, one of the things that you're going to be seeing from us is actually as part of our promise around security and confidence, is increasing the ability for you to have increased policies, not only around the catalogs, but in fact about how users are using those applications, and being able to actually drive those policies down to a per user level, and integrated with all the rest of the policies that we're supporting, as part of the new Skype for Business and Microsoft Teams Admin Center. So this opens up a bunch of opportunities now in terms of being able to control how users are getting those things, how they show up in context, and how those now participate in that overall sort of life cycle. Now, as part of the life cycle then, the other thing that we're looking at here is that we know that teams are not static. In fact, teams are very dynamic. And part of that dynamic nature for teams is that they oftentimes will spin up, they work, they accomplish their goal, and then you want to spin them down, right? These teams don't necessarily operate the same way the entire time. And so that life cycle about being able to actually work all the way through is something that we've enabled through Graph API, so that if you are an administrator or you're a developer, your ability to start managing the life cycle for these teams and integrate this with your business process is a key piece of feedback that we've been hearing, and it's a key thing that we're enabling from a scenario perspective. And we're very excited to announce that these APIs that are currently in the beta namespace in Graph will actually be moving into the V1 namespace just later this summer. And so as part of putting things together, you're going to now have the ability to actually have your applications, manage the teams that support those applications and those teamwork processes, and put them together into something. Now, what is interesting? Well, interesting sort of plays out in a number of variety of places. One of them is about just being able to do straight up configuration. One of them is also about being able to start thinking about how these things play into industry fit. And so industry fit could be healthcare, it could be financial services, could be manufacturing, professional services. You might have a template for how you think about what the right way to start working is. And the faster you can get to that template, the easier for your people to pick up and start using Teams. As part of that, you might have something that in fact is a cycle that everybody goes through. So for example, if I'm an airline and I have flight crews, and flight crews go on flights all the time, well, the flight mechanics are meant to be the same, right? I have the same sort of timeline and life cycle for all of those. And so how can I now spin up those things on a very consistent basis? Or if I'm in the education, right, I have classes every term. And so how can I spin up the class for that term, let the students work with it, the instructors work with it, and then spin the classes down at the end of the term? So these all have life cycles, and so the ability to support these becomes super important. Finally, on the distribution and sort of deployment side, one of the things that Larry mentioned earlier is our support for now being able to publish in AppSource. So if you are thinking about commercializing your IP for Teams, what this opens up is not just the sort of mechanical thing about being able to distribute this into Teams, but also the ability to now actually have a sort of merchandisable page, so to speak, where you can actually start to send people to go and get your app and to quickly see more information about your app so that you can kind of educate and ramp people up on that very easily. So that ability to publish through apps then also allows you to take through all the other tools that come as part of the seller dashboard. So a bunch of goodness that comes in as part of bringing in AppSource. Now, to help sort of give you a little bit more color on what we're doing with these lifecycle automation, I'm going to invite Nick Kramer up to talk through some examples that we can use on Graph. Hey.
Thanks, Andy.
So,
As Andy discussed, the ultimate team hub for Contoso Airlines means having a team per flight. You have all these people on the flight. You got the pilots, you got the ground crew, you got the air attendants. They all need to work together to make that flight successful. And that means having a new team for every flight they fly. And that really calls out for automation. So let's show you how they do that. They actually run this. This is just a standard ASP.NET application. I put it in its own website. Contoso prefers to do it inside a team tab, but I thought for clarity of the demo, it would be easier to see it as a website. Graph APIs are something you can call from anywhere, not just within Teams. You can even call them from the command line if you feel like it. And so let's show some of those. Here, we'll create a team. Authenticate again. And we will walk through the steps here. So first step to creating a team is creating a group. You set up the display name, mail nickname, describe the team. You set the magic group type to unified, mail enabled equals true, security enabled equals false, a couple magic variables there. And then finally, choose your favorite visibility, public or private. And we do that. We're going to see that a new team shows up. Make this just a little bit bigger so we can see this as it pops into view here. And it doesn't pop into view yet because we have only created the group. The next step, once we have that group, we need to get the ID out of the response payload here. We had our magic payload here. Magic URL is post/groups. That's how you create your group. And then to turn a group into a team, you put a team into a group. put/groups/ID/team. And when we do that, we'll see that flight 144 has popped into existence over here. But it gets better. We need to actually add people to this. So let's step through. Let's go through the flight crew and add them one by one. We'll construct a little payload here. We're going to pass a JSON payload of /users/UPN. UPN is their email address, effectively. And then we'll call graph. post/groups/ID/members/$ref is how you add a new user into that group. And if they're the captain, we can make them the owner of the group as well, or the owner of the team, rather. And you do that for 10 different users. We'll skip over the 10 different users. Scene one, you've seen them all. Let's also add a channel to that, because where's the fun with just one channel? Let's also create a new channel. post/groups/ID/teams/team/channels and add a pilot's channel here where you can discuss flight paths and weather and whatnot. And now we see our channel over there. Finally, let's just post a little message welcoming everyone to the team. Got to post/groups/ID/team/channel/channel/ID/chat/threads. And if you had the right channel open, you'll see, welcome to flight 144. So those are all things you can do today with our beta APIs. The next step I want to show you is how you can then use some of those line of business applications we talked about. I'm going to go in here to the store, scroll to the very bottom. Upload a custom app. We're going to upload it for Contoso. We're going to look for Singlecast. Add that in there. And apparently, I forgot to delete it the last time. And then we go back to our team. We can add it to our newly created team here. Let's see. Add. Manage team is one way to do it. Store. Let's see, single. All right. Got a single wire, add it to flight 144.
So this is a great example of where, you know, you take a traditionally kind of enterprise application, like an InformaCast, that provides you with other options for integrating with things in your organization. I want to be able to buy that and deploy that for everybody, but I want to do that in an automated way. It doesn't necessarily always come through the store, but I want to be able to sell it and deploy it as an IT admin. So this is exactly the type of capability that you can now start to do. So this ability to upload these apps is something that's restricted to the appropriate delegated individuals to be able to do that. So this is a key example of where you take an important enterprise application like, you know, incident management and now being able to actually do that in a consistent way.
And so you can see that we have InformaCast installed in the channel now. We'll skip the actual severe weather alert here to save everyone's ears. But the next step you can do, though, is do this automatically. Wouldn't it be great if we were able to add an app programmatically? So let's do that. I have my favorite app ID here. This is SurveyMonkey, one of my favorite apps. And let's just install that into the team we just created. Single call. This is one of the APIs we're working on right now. post/teams/group ID/apps, and then the app ID, that magic app ID I just mentioned. And let's go back to our channel. Let's see if SurveyMonkey is here yet. I typed too fast. Oh, dear. SurveyMonkey is... Not. Oh, here we go.
There it is.
SurveyMonkey.
Survey.
Yeah. Helps if you actually type this right.
There you go.
So now if you're setting up classes for, let's say, education, right? So you want to do classes for a term. You want to be able to make sure that they have all the apps that they need when they're right away starting. You don't have to have the teacher go in and have to add all the apps on their own. So that ability to automate that becomes super, super important.
SurveyMonkey likes you to ask for surveys. And so that's the fun of having a built-in bot. Oops, got to actually, one more time, you also need the at sign in there. All right, only took three tries.
There we go. All
right, so that's a great way to get an app into your channel and your team. Now, there's another way to do all this. Let me show you another second way to do this, which is to clone an existing team. You can start with a fully formed team with a list of installed apps, a list of channels, and say, let me create another one of those. Let me copy that team, let me clone it, and then add some new members to that. Let me show you that path. Hop into the code over here. Oops, forgot to wind up this breakpoint. We go into create team using clone. We create a little clone request, again, similar sort of stuff. We say the display name, mail nickname, description, team visibility. Then we say which parts of the team do you want to clone? Well, we'll take the apps, we'll take the settings, we'll take the channels. We'll pass on the membership because every flight's different, but we'll take the other three. And that gives you a real quick way of creating this. We'll come over here and we'll watch for that. It takes a moment to clone because there's a lot of stuff to clone there. We're basically packing a bunch of different HTTP requests into one big one here. But when you do that, we get a team that's fully formed with all the apps already installed. And here we go. Flight 144 with service to Pittsburgh is ready to go.
That's the return flight.
Yeah. All right. Then I wanted to show you one last feature here, since I'm here, one last thing. You have a question over here? What happens if what?
If it times out.
What happens if it times out? We have this is a long-running operation. We have a system here where, I glossed over this a little bit, but the pattern there is you make a request and it says, I heard you, I'm not done yet, but I heard you, and then, You periodically pull back and say, hey, what's the status of that request I made earlier? I also want to show a little example of reading channel messages. We've had the ability to post channel messages for a while, but until very recently, we haven't had any way to get that text back. And I thought that would be a nice thing to have, to be able to, say, read some of your messages. And that's what this little page is about. Let's see where I left it. Hopefully the authentication didn't time out on me. And so we have a similar request here. You get groups slash team ID slash team slash channel ID. You got a lot of IDs in there, slash messages. And we're just going to ask for the top 10 messages. And if I remember where I left it, before I came over here, I have a nice little tenant here with a channel that's full of some communications and blog entries about what's been going on in Teams. So I got any number of messages in here. Oops, something went wrong. We'll skip that part, but you can trust me that there's a team with content in it. And we're going to make those calls. Oh. And fail out at the authentication. All right. Oh, well.
Real code.
Real code. Real code. And if it did work, you'd see that you'd get back a single JSON request asking for those 10 different messages we asked for. It'll include all the information you expect out of a message. We will tell you about replies to those messages as well as the root message. And this is coming soon to a code base near you. The adaptive card content will be in there, yes. We will include the adaptive card payload as well.
Awesome. So one of the scenarios that we see with that reading messages is, again, if you're trying to archive a team, you want to be able to potentially get all the content out of the team and be able to actually do something with it. And so you could either disable it, or you can choose to pull all the content out and then delete the team. It's really your call in terms of how you think about the life cycle. So with that, we're about at time, so let me just close that real quickly. We've basically shown you sort of four key stages for how you think about building capabilities for your custom application, and from getting started to enhancing conversations to thinking about how communications bring into it, and then how you distribute and automate that. So hopefully we've given you some framing for how to move forward and think about how to take teams to the next level and start tailoring the teamwork in your organization. Now, as part of that, we've covered quite a long list of stuff, so I just wanted to sort of have a quick reminder for everybody as we get into that. So there's a set of things that we've released in the last few months. There's a set that we're actually releasing that are going to be new this quarter and rolling out. And then as we move forward, there were a couple of things that we've announced basically sneak peeks for, and these are things that you'll hear us talk more about as we kind of go further into the year. But we're excited to get your feedback and sort of look for opportunities with that. So some quick administrative logistics. There's a bunch of related office sessions, and so I encourage you to check out some of the sessions here. We spend a lot of time talking about SharePoint, which is super, I think, valuable, and definitely want to make sure that's something you guys can take a look at. And then there's some other key pieces here about how you can start to get more out of the bots that you're building that is done in conjunction with our partners over on the bot framework and Azure services side. So strongly encourage you guys to take a look at those. And strongly encourage you to take a look through the theater sessions. So in the expo floor over in the main convention center, there's lots of opportunities. We have the team's booth over there. Definitely encourage you guys to come stop by and check out some just more detailed hands-on pieces. And then also, if you want to get more information, if you haven't already, although it sounded like about half of you had, you want to get more information on Teams, we've got some links for being able to jump to the Teams Dev Center. So with that, like I said, we are a few minutes over time, so I'm happy to stick around. Larry's here, I'm here, we can answer questions off the side of the stage. Otherwise, thanks for coming, guys, and enjoy the rest of the conference.